Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
I've already mentioned them to you, but there are three things in life that we must conquer on a daily basis. And the reason why I believe the Holy Spirit directed me in talking about this, the world, the flesh, and the devil, is because they'll be repeated. It'll happen over and over and over again. Sometimes you feel like I should be a pro at this, I'd be able to handle this. But no one is granted immunity, or even the seniority of knowing Jesus holds no advantage. You say, well, I've been a Christian, 50 years. I could say I've been a Christian for 60 years, which I have. I accepted the Lord when I was 9 years old. I'm 69 years old. I know it's hard to believe it. Yeah, I'm 60. Thank you. No. But the deal is this. You get no points for that. Because that same devil will come after you every single day. He has one thing in mind. That's to break you down. To take control of your life. So the interesting thing about it is that the Holy Spirit has given us an advantage. From the advent of Pentecost until today, we must be prepared to take on these three battlefronts with faith and confidence in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know something? You don't have to fail. Did you hear what I said? You don't have to fail. You don't have to crumble. You don't have to cave in. Here's the things I'll tell you today, the three things we'll talk about. Number one, are you willing to stand up for truth in love to confront the culture of this world? You say, well, yeah, all right, I will. I'm going to get into some real direct things, hits we've had just from the news media and just from culture itself. And my question to you is, are you willing to face that straight on with some of your friends? Secondly, would be this. Are you prepared to confront your own flesh when it cries out for to form an allegiance with the things of this culture? Now, none of us would want to believe that we do that, but we have. I read this article, and it'll probably make a few enemies. But you know, the whole idea of the selfie, do you know what that's all about? It's about you. It's about putting yourself in every situation or, taking a picture of food, send it to your friends. Oh, that's nothing wrong with that. Oh, honey, you want everybody to know what you're doing. And you're putting yourself in the picture, I have this war in my mind. Facebook does a lot of good things, but at the same time, it gives you an illusion that you have this great following. That people really like you. Now, let me just tell you a little bit about this, and then I'll quit. Maybe I won't. I don't know. But anyway, when you go on this thing, it says, and you give them the option to either go like or not like. If they like that, you're thinking, hey, all right, I got something that people like. And you know what it does? It boosts you up in thinking that you really are somebody. Well, I never thought of it that way. I know you didn't. And that's not going to make you vilify you, but at the same time, think about what we're doing. We'll go on from there. Number three, does the thought of direct spiritual warfare against the enemy of your soul cause you to be fearful? People say, well, I'm glad somebody says, yeah, it does. But that's why we're having this message today that God wants us to know. The Holy Spirit will prepare you for what lies ahead. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. That's our first scripture. 1 John, here we go. Do not love the world or the things in the world, for if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let me stop right there. You say, wait a minute. If you love the world, you need to define that for me, and I will define that for you. There's a culture, there's a world, that somehow, I'm not talking about the beautiful, landscapes and seascapes and the mountains and the trees and that type of thing. That's not what I'm talking about. There's a spirit behind that. There's something that makes you escape from who Jesus is, and you attribute that to something else. So the idea behind this is, well, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. You go back to the scene that Jesus is out in the wilderness. He's being confronted by these things. But remember, the Holy Spirit led him out there, and I'll define that for you a little bit better in just a few moments. But the Holy Spirit leads Jesus out there to confront the things of the world, and just like we're doing that daily, And the world is passing away, the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. The world is passing away. How do you process that? Let me help you with that. By saying something that's passed away, it means that it's finally being exposed for what really truly is going on. And you're saying, you know, this is a rough place. I want to be with Jesus. But for now, we're going to stay here. We're going to talk about how we're going to confront the things that lie ahead. The Holy Spirit takes the lead and the initiative in every area of our life. That means that we are led by the Spirit in our everyday lives, which means that you don't have anything to be afraid of. No reason to be fearful. He said, well, what's going to happen next? The Bible talks about a couple of things. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Men will be lovers of themselves and, you know, and all the various things that will happen. But I'm going to go to Romans in a few minutes and just kind of describe to you some cultural things that will make some of you uncomfortable, but I think it will make all of us aware of what we need to confront. But there is nothing that happens that will not happen that God is not aware of. He knows everything that's going on. Furthermore, when we choose to rely upon him, he will help us navigate every situation that we face. Here's Jesus, and he's in this situation. He's being tempted by the devil. And he's at his most vulnerable point. 40 days into a fast. And I'll tell you what, the devil will hit you when you're at your lowest point. When you feel like you just can't make it. What does that mean? It means simply this, that our wilderness experience does not mean that everything that we will face will cause us pain. Say, what? Jesus is hungry. He hasn't eaten for 40 days. Hello? And so the devil's coming to him and tempting him with the thing that he wants the most or he needs the most or he would desire the most, and that's food, something to satisfy his hunger. Do you realize that every day of your life, there are hungers that are real and there are hungers that are not real. The hunger that's not real is you do not have to go to Starbucks. Work with me, people. But your car is on autopilot and you drive down that road and something hits you says, pull over. And you automatically, like an automaton, you reach in your wallet and they, as a matter of fact, you don't have to, you just pull out that card because it's got a lot of credit on it. You just slap it on there and click bang and you are out of there. You don't have to tell a lady anything. She knows exactly how you like a double shot of this and whatever. Oh, come on, work with me, people. I know what I'm talking about. Come on, it's automatic. And so she kind of looks at you, hi. And then she just goes through all the motions. She hands it to you, and you know, and we're out of here. That's not hunger. It's a desire that's within us that's already, we got it set up for fulfillment. I want to tell you that Jesus knows everything that we need, but some of the greatest discoveries that we will make will be during the time that we fast and pray. Somebody say amen. Some of the best times of your life when you feel like, oh man, I don't know whether I'm going to make it, but all of a sudden you're reading the word and something comes alive to you that you've never seemed to see before until you let go of your, you know, McMuffin. Relying on the Spirit, upon the Spirit for direction is the means by which we learn to trust. And then there's another part of it. Our ability to find security in exploring the unknown with peace and the confidence of believing that he knows what he's doing. I'll take the hit for it. There are times in my life I felt that God did not know what he was doing. He said, Pastor, uh-huh. Because I thought I was hurting so bad, this was so wrong, this was just so, how could God allow me to go through this? I'm going to ask a question for you because some of you are too spiritual not to. But then I discovered God knew exactly what he was doing. And pain will be a part of your process. But our ability to find security in exploring the unknown with the peace and confidence, believing that he knows what he's doing. Well, the most fundamental attack from the enemy will be directed at us through challenges and questions to our identity. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 15. This is where it's going to get nice and heavy. I dare you to leave me at this point. Because I'm coming after culture. I'm going to come after things that the world has told you that's this way, and I'm going to tell you how it really works. Okay. Romans chapter 1. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now, the word suppress means hold down, keep it from really reaching its maximum potential or its revelation of what it really truly means. Suppressing means to put it under a cloud of suspicion that it just may not be true as you think it to be. In unrighteousness, but because they may be known of God, what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. I'm going to come across, or at least come at, some things that we would call ignorance. Or we find ourselves culturally, become culturally more aware of the needs of individuals, and now we can process things in a more genuine light of the idea of realizing that some people don't know any better. Then you're going to have to take that particular scripture and tear it out of your Bible. It won't work. Because God made it known, maybe known of God, is manifest for them, for God has shown it to them. Let's go on to the next verse. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and the Godhead, so that we are without excuse. That is pretty direct. We are without excuse. Everybody can vote on this one. Ever made up a false excuse to make yourself look better? I'm not talking about when the dog ate your homework. I'm talking about the real. Hey, you know, I would have been there, but I just got so busy. We just wake up something to make ourselves look better. But the real excuse is I didn't want to come. Come on, you work with me. I would never. Yes, you would. You are rotten to the core. Because you said, I couldn't tell her, I don't want to come. I'll find some excuse to tell her, I was busy. Blame it on the kids. Volunteer for extra work, say, I just had to work extra. You volunteer for that extra work because you didn't want to do it. Don't leave now, we'll know why. Okay, so because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. That's the part I've got to spend some time with, because the darkness of this world is closing in on all of us. Darkness. The Bible says, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. How many times did you go out and boogie and party at 3 p.m? Come on, tell me, how many times? Are we going to have a party? We going to get down, this type of thing? Honey, it had to be after 9. It had to be dark, and it had to be loud. Because there's something about us, when we're in darkness, we feel like God doesn't see us. He doesn't see you making that corner, right? Oh, I'm going to help somebody today. Somebody going to get saved today because I'm just exposing the darkness of the deeds that we're doing. But you don't, come on, work with me, folks. This is truth. And the deal is this. They knew God. They didn't glorify. They weren't thankful because they're futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. Go on a little bit further. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. In the ghetto, we call you a fool. F-U. Fool. You a fool. She a fool. He a fool. They all fools. You don't get a double O-L. You a fool. Anyway, just thought you'd know that. I have to go ghetto for a minute, and I'm back. and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, the birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Go on to the next little part here. Therefore, God has also given them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. This is where it's going to get really, really, and you folks, we're going there. Who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I said, Pastor, why did you put that up on the screen? Because I'm going to tell you this. It really ties in well with what happened in Matthew chapter 4. The enemy will approach us with a question, if, which will cause us to respond trying to prove what God has already told us we are. He says, if you are the Son of God, if you are really a Christian, do such and such. Or over in Romans, Paul is just really calling people out on the idea of their personal and sexual identity of what God said they were and who the world says they are. I'm going deep now, folks. Just look out, because I'm going to bring up the real culture war that we've got going on. And what happens here is Paul calls it unrighteousness and ungodliness of men. The world calls it bigotry, hatred, suppression, and us being intolerant of certain issues of people that live on this planet. This is not a hate speech. This is not a hate sermon. But I got to define for you what the culture has defined for you, totally different than what the Bible says. That means that God has clearly defined man and his identity roles. In Romans chapter 1:20, let's go back over that again. Romans 1:20. I don't think... Oh my, we're gonna run to God here in a minute. That's later on, sweetie. We'll get there. I got someone else working for you. No, get my person up there. Give them a hand. They're doing a good job. They're not used to all this stuff. And if you don't find that spot, I'm cool. I'll find it up here, because it doesn't matter. But the whole deal is that what happens is the enemy will take certain parts of our lives and such, and he'll try to dissect them for us in a different arena. Romans 1:20 says this. Oh, is it there? Okay, we're back there. For since the creation of the world has been invisible attributes and clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I want to start with the place there is no excuse. And I'm going to tell you a personal story here in just a moment that you'll say, oh my, but it really happened. The world has tried to redefine our identity in many different ways. Okay, here we go. Social, economic, sexual, political, racial, the list is endless. But God defines us one way. We are all his beloved children. All of us. Doesn't matter what you've gone through or the things that have happened to you, you still belong to it, and God loves you. He hasn't changed his mind about you at all. He sent Jesus to die for you, and if you were the only person, would he come? He would have come, because that's how much God loves you. I don't want you to even begin to insert into this message that pastor has a hate thing going on. I don't at all. But we are living by the words that come from the mouth of God. So in Romans 1:24, this is what happens. We'll go there. Therefore, God has given them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. God gave them. God says, okay, you won't do that? I remember Grandma would say this. She said, go ahead, go ahead. You know that didn't mean go ahead, didn't you? By the way she said it. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. That is not permission. That's saying you're going to do it, but you're going to regret you ever did it. But you go ahead. If you feel like you got to do it, knock yourself out. But you'll rue the day you ever went down that road. I'm here to tell you, just because God allowed you to do it doesn't mean you should have done it. But when you have your mind made up, when your heart is hardened, when you're indifferent toward the truth, God said, go ahead. I got a question for you right now. How's it working for you? My aunt told me this. I never tried her on it. Marry in haste, repent in leisure. You had to have him or her. Go ahead, marry her, marry her. Go ahead, she's yours. Your little honey bucket or whatever you had. But here's the deal. God will allow man to have his own way for a season. Now I'm going to get right into the culture war. Bruce Caitlin Jenner. So he brought that up in church. Yes, I did. And I'm going to tell you why. And I am not against Bruce or Caitlin. Because I want to tell you a real story that happened. This happened in 1986. We were in Holiday Street. And I preached a message on Sunday morning about God being able to forgive and God being able to save folks and this type of thing. And a lady set up an appointment with me. And she came to my office. She says, Pastor, I believe the message that you preached. And I've given my heart over to Jesus. And I really want to serve him all the days of my life. And she looked at me and she says, but I'm not who you think I am. I said, uh-oh. She says, I was born, I'm going to give you a fictitious name, John Fredericks. But I'm living as Lisa Monet. I gave my heart to Jesus yesterday. What do I do now? Because I've had a complete sex change. Everything's been changed. What do I do now? Let me complicate a little bit further. This person was one of the city officials in the city of Portland. And her identity, she was identified as a woman, on the books as a woman, and had a very high position in our city government. You know what the question was? How does God see me? Oh, you folks are, oh, I'm glad I didn't have to answer that question. And you know what I told her? God is not confused over who he made you to be. You can change your hairstyle, you can put on pumps, put on a wig, baby. Do whatever you want to do. God is not confused. But God has enough mercy and enough grace to cleanse what you have. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's nothing you can do to get away from the grace of God. God can fix it, but he's not confused. See, this is the thing that we get ourselves all, oh, I got to, no. All you have to do is come to Jesus. He can handle all the details. She said, well, what about this? What about anything? You know what? This body going to stay here anyway. God got a new one for you in heaven, and he's not confused of what it looks like, okay? See, I ordered my new body for heaven. It has a little less beef than this one, so I'm good. But I want to tell you, when you face those things head on, you can't just shrink back. Well, I don't really know. No, I do know. God is not confused. Now, the big bombshell that happened, I guess, the last week or so, but it wasn't a big bombshell for some folks. Folks knew it all along. But Brad Pitt has let you know he swings on both sides, AC and DC current. Been doing it for the last 10 years. Has the flavor of the month. Oh, yes, he does. And his wife, Angelina Jolie, does the exact same thing. Both of them are bisexual and have bisexual behavior. What? I want to tell you what that'll do to our culture. For some people, say, well, you're going to feel some people will feel validated. Well, I've always kind of had that inkling and that feeling, and now if it's good enough for Brad or Angela, it's good enough for me. And some people will get on the boat. Do you hear what I'm saying? Culture will affect you. And you know what? The thing, interesting thing about it, George Clooney's okay with that. I mean, he married a woman. He's not playing that other game as far as I know. I don't know what he's doing, but anyway. But the deal is this, but he's totally behind what they're doing. You know, that people should have an opportunity to express themselves whatever way they feel like it. Find that in the Bible. It's not there. Where are we going with this? I need to hurry quickly. But I'm not going to hurry quickly. So we need to marinate. The world will embrace the culture and vilify those who uphold the word of God. Because if you uphold the word of God and you don't have to go hold up signs and say, you know, down with Caitlin. But if somebody asks you, well, what do you think about that? You just say, you know what? I know that God is a good God. And I know people can go through pain, but you know, but you need to tell them the devil will lie to you. And he'll tell you things. He'll put images in your mind. He'll put thoughts in your mind. He'll put feelings in your emotions that will send you down the wrong road. And I'll tell you that right now. Some of you, the worst mess up you had in your life, it was dictated by your emotions. Is that not true? Had to have it. Had to have her. Had to have this. Had to have that. Your emotion. You had to have that car. Still can't pay for it. Refinanced it twice. Got an 80 month payment. But you ride, and we don't care. Once we saw, say, oh, that's nice. Go, God bless you. You did it for us. Mm-hmm. Help me, Jesus. I'm going to get through this in a minute. Let me just get you another fact. Ireland just recently signed on to same-sex marriage. It was a landslide vote. It was 70% of the people of Ireland voted in same-sex marriage. 70%. But let me tell you what happened in 1906. 1906, Ireland was the only place in Europe where they had an outbreak of the Holy Spirit on that particular continent. They were the place. Do you get the picture now? The enemy says, if I work on them long enough, I think I can destroy this thing called godliness. I think I can destroy the Holy Spirit. But you know something? Bad move. God is not threatened by anything that man does. All he has to do is shake the earth just a little bit. Just a little bit. Let it tremor a little bit. And these folks will be falling on their faces. They will not be calling upon Ireland. They'll be calling on Jesus. Just let it shake a little bit. But you know, there's a shaking going on now. Even as the city of Portland, there did we go for anything, this type of thing. Don't you give in so quickly. Read the history of Portland. There was a time when in the city of Portland, all of the downtown offices and businesses were closed from 12 until 2 to have prayer down in the city of Portland. Downtown Portland. That went on for 2 years. Read it. Go ahead and Google it. You say, oh, I don't know. I think Pastor's tripping. No, he not. Come on. But you know what? The glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. God's going to do something better than that. And it's going to take people like yourselves and believe God that God can do these things. I got to get back to my message here. I don't know where I am. I'm going to get back. Here we go. Let me tell you this much. Our soul success depends on our willingness to walk in the ways of the Spirit of God. The temptation to allow our flesh to dominate our spirit must be overcome by obedience to the directions of the Word of God. Jesus didn't flinch. He didn't pull back. He says, I got something to tell you. Satan, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that I'm not hungry. And here's the problem that we face, folks, is that we feel like we have to make up an excuse to do what's right. But the Lord says to Satan, and he says it directly in his face, he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And that's a very important statement. He did not say that bread is not important. You need food to survive. But he says, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, which tells me when you have refreshed yourself and given yourself food, the very first thing you should probably do is to also refresh your spirit in the things of God. Don't do one without the other. Don't live by bread alone. Don't just be so trying to satisfy your flesh and keep it going. But feed your soul spiritually every single day. Somebody say a real hearty amen right there. That's a good point. The temptation to allow our flesh to dominate our spirit must be overcome by obedience to the directions of the Word of God. In the times that we may want to, we want to give into our flesh through temptation, we must allow the Spirit to strengthen our resolve to do the right thing. And then God will send divine intervention, supernatural presence to sustain us. I'm going to do a couple more things and I'm going to quit for today. But the temptation of the flesh can only be overcome when we recognize the Holy Spirit's ability to keep us from doing things on our time frame and not God's appointed time. How many of you believe God's an on-time God? The rest of you, I got news for you. Because I've been waiting on God. I've been waiting for God to do this particular thing. I'm waiting on my husband. I've been waiting on this particular thing to happen. And just God hasn't showed up. I don't know what God's problem is. God doesn't have a problem. You got a problem. But he's like, oh, I need it right now. I would trust God's judgment on anything that's going on in your life right now. Waiting on God is something that we will never gain exemption from doing. I appreciate so much what Sister Ivy preached last week on the idea of they waited for 10 days for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, but here's the beauty of the situation right now. Now that the Holy Spirit is our advocate and he's available to us 24/7, you don't have to wait on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will keep you in check and keep you in the particular place where you can really do the things that God has called you and anointed you to do. But the other thing I need to tell you about this is that bringing our flesh under subjection to the Spirit is a daily exercise of faith and surrender. Do you ever wonder why we lift our hands? I remember when that first came into being, this is probably the late 70s, when it was like this is like the cool thing to do. People are raising their hands to worship. They thought that was just so wonderful. And God said, what took you so long? Because it's a sign of surrender. Person come in here with a gun, your hands will fly up if you have never put them up in your life. Hands up. But the Holy Spirit, when we surrender to God, as Sister Sunday said, God, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to your cross I'll cling. Worship team, you can make your way back up here. I want to get these last couple of points, or actually just thoughts, and I'm going to close for today. We must realize that we are to pursue God, pursue what God wants us rather than what we want. We must be willing to recognize whose best interests are we pursuing. This is a little thought that I was reading something the other day, and it goes back to the whole Facebook thing. And again, I'm not trying to, please don't be offended by that. But the question that has to be at least addressed is the idea, is that whose best interest are we pursuing? If you wake up every day that you're pursuing your best interest, the things that you want, the things you think you need, you will miss it terribly. We must be able to reach out beyond ourselves to pursue those things that for righteousness, peace, and joy that the Holy Spirit wants to do in us and through us. Furthermore, here's one for you. What you celebrate, you will replicate. You say, oh, I need a definition here. Okay, here comes the definition. The things that mean the most to you are the things that you will do over and over and over again. And if it points toward you, you will have a deficit of a relationship with God. In other words, you celebrate your feelings, your emotions, or if you celebrate money really just makes you feel good or other things in life, you'll just do it over and over and over and over again. It's just, we won't even ask the question, whether should I do it? You just do it. You've heard the saying, if it feels good, do it, that kind of thing. Total nonsense. But we must be willing to go through the test in order to have a testimony of God's faithfulness. I'm going to put a little comma there, and I'm going to pursue more of this next week. Here's the thing I want to ask us about today. How are you going to wrap all this up when you start this culture war, or you just pursued something with people that are the icons of our culture? The Brad Pitts and the Angelina Jolies and George Clooney's and these type of people that kind of set the tone for culture. I want to get really deep into your spirit right now, that the Holy Spirit, I want to say, who are you looking to? Who is your total identity resting in? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Because here's the deal.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.